Put on the board, consider your ways. That's found in the first chapter of Haggai. But I want to start in the fourth chapter of Psalms. It seems to me like in today's world, especially in the what's left of the Christian, what's left of Christianity, I should say, it seems like to me that people are trying to make themselves like God by changing God. They know that it's got to come together, so they start making God like them. That's not the right way to do it. We're not supposed to change God into our image, but we're to change our image into God. And it seems to me like that's widespread today, that believing in calling themselves Christian, so to speak, but believe in all kind of vices and things, and then making God out to be okay with that or like that. There was something I heard the other day, really stuck with me. The guy was talking about the difference between the progressive liberal mind and the conservative mind. And I'm not being political here, I'm going to prove a point. And said that the two different views of solving problems, the conservative view of solving problems was for societal problems was the change of moral character, individual change of moral character. You didn't ever change anything unless you change the parts. You have to change the individual. Individuals have to change the collective. The other view was that you change the whole. Without changing the moral character, you change the whole. And you can see it a lot. There's a lot of arguments about change the United States. Well, the conservative says change the moral character, that you can't change. You can't change anything unless you change the moral character of the nation. And no matter what the issue is that's in our day and time today, we would still believe that individual personal responsibility of changing moral character has to happen to change the whole. And you can't just holler or try to change or legislate or change the things, because the bottom line of it, whether you say, well, you need to change the government. No, you need to change the moral character of the people in government. Well, you need to change the police department. No, you need to change the moral character of the police officers. You need to change. The only way to change the whole is to change the individual. So today, I want to not focus with the whole, but we need to focus on ourselves as the individual. For me to say, I would be better if the whole thing was better. There may be a glimmer of truth in that, but it don't hold much. I can't be made better if everybody. I need to work on my own moral character. I work on what the Lord has for me. So in 4th Psalms, I'll start with the first verse. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after releasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah." The last part of the third verse, the writer says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. I think we can have an idea that there is the benefits of the Lord are there. And surely God is good. And there's much benefit. He lets the rain, it rains on the just and the unjust, the sun shines. We're a benefit of God's world and all his goodness and all that. So surely that is true. But there's an idea in this passage of scripture here that the Lord will hear me when I call. But in other words, you can reverse and say, if I never call, he's not going to hear. The hear is the not only to hear, I heard that, but is to respond to it. The Lord will respond to me when I call on him. It puts a responsibility on us, and it sets the stage. It really sets the stage from where our help comes. As I go through this today, I want this to be the overlaying idea that we have in our mind. The background of it is that nobody can do it, change themselves. The mechanism is made for us to change. The Lord will hear when I call. I can come to a point, it's really me depending upon the Lord. God is able. He's made a way for you and I to be what we're supposed to be. But if we never go towards that, if we never call upon him, then he's never going to pay attention. It's up to us to get to the place that Lord helping us deal with and work with us, that we get to a place that I'm willing, but I'm going to call upon the Lord because the Lord's going to hear me in this. Anybody have needs in here? Well, I hope not. It'd be a wonderful congregation without needs, but it's not a reality. We probably all would say, yes, I have some needs. And when I feel like I don't have any needs at the moment, I know it's not long till I have one. I know that something's going to happen to show up my humanity. Something's going to come to show up. There's going to be a gauge somewhere that's going to say, and it's going to say less than I would have hoped it would have said. It's going to show the need there. He says in the fourth verse here, stand in awe. This is really, really important for the day that we live in. These Christians that I'm talking about, nobody particular, I'm just talking about the view of Christianity now, is that I can be anything I want to be. I can do anything that I want to do. And I label myself with this thing called Christianity. But folks, this says to stand in awe. This means that you're recognizing who God is. When Isaiah come into contact with the Lord, his mind was holy, holy, holy. I am undone. I live among a people that's undone. And I'm undone. And he recognized himself for what he was and what God is. And he stood in awe of the Almighty God. If we could put God in his real place and the fear of God come on us, it would so help us. If we could stand in awe of God. The fear of God seems like it's just almost gone. Nobody really fears, even though they mention about God, they don't fear the Lord. There's no sense of awe to them. And when I'm saying that, an awe of having to come into his presence, I think about these things from time to time. What it's going to be like to stand before God in judgment. Especially this passage that says, it comes into my mind quite often, that we will be judged according to the judgment that we judge. If I am not willing to forgive my brother, or if I look in a certain way and make a judgment on him and say that's wrong, do you know that's the way that God's going to judge me for the very same thing? If I don't release someone or I hold them for a mistake that they made, I've made mistakes too. And the Lord is going to enact my judgment, my standard of judgment to me. And I think about it in a sense of awe sometimes to stand before God and him pass my judgment on me. Makes me be merciful. It makes me be kinder. It makes me want to help more. When I stand in awe, so the recommendation is stand in awe this morning. Think of God for who He is. Think of this vast universe, the creation of this world. Think of all this spoken into existence by this mighty God that we serve. Think about, stand in awe of who God is. And do you know that there's not one error, one falsehood, one lie, one deception in God? We're not equals, folks. You know, I know there's language in the Bible. I'm glad for it. That Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Gives you an idea of a freeness that we have to go to Him. A freeness that I can commune with Him. He wanted us to understand that about Him. But we're not to think we're equals. We're not to get to the point that I'm equal with God and I can just say anything that and act any way and I can use His name any way or say anything. I can't. I should stand in awe because it's a protection to us. You never overcome the things if you don't, but it's a powerful tool to us if we stand in awe of God, recognizing what He is, and I'm going to have to stand before Him. And did you know that if I had the power of your all's life in my hand this morning, you know what I'm saying? Your life is in my hand, and when I get ready to blow you out, you're gone. You guys would treat me good. You guys treat me good anyway. But you guys would look at me different if you said at any moment, or if your life was represented by this little frail eggshelled thing that I'm holding and taking care of, and if this drops and smashes, you're gone, and I've got it here. You guys would be right. Don't trip Him. Don't you watch out for he's got something special. He's got my life. His hand. God's got our life in His hands. Stand in awe of God. Get to this place, and it'll help you when you turn your computers on. It'll help you to what web page you go to. It'll help you for what you listen to. It'll help you what you say. And if you say something wrong, it'll help you make it better. When you stand in this place of awe, it'll change the way you look at things. There'll be a carefulness that comes into our life when we're in awe of God. I want to be right. Lord, help me by your grace to be what I should be. Make me serious about my life. Make me kind to others. Make me want to reach out and do the work of the Lord. It'll help me to do that when I get God in His right perspective in place. I don't think that we're supposed to live like the Old Testament was, where He said that about the mount that could not be touched and you'd be thrust through with a spear. And I don't think we're to live in that kind of fear about God. But I think we should live with awe, a sense of what God is. Stand in awe and sin not. See, if you stand in awe, you won't sin not. You'll sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Commune with your own heart. Well, if we was communing with one another, we would be asking questions and getting answers. Communing with one another, expressing thoughts back to one another. This says to commune with your own heart. We're not. This whole idea about on your bed, you know what that means? Don't be rash. Don't be quick. Don't just jump at things. Can you be wrong? Can you be wrong? Better think about it. Can you be misled? Could you be deceived about something? The idea is that don't jump off. The idea of the night thing is to take time. Take time before you do it. You're about to do something that's major. Don't just jump and do that. There's something serious here. Commune with your own heart. Ask yourself the questions. Ask yourself, meditate. Ask yourself something. Do you ever ask yourself, if I die tonight, am I ready? I mean, do you ever lay down? The reason why this is this way, because you don't generally lay down in the middle of the street with traffic going by and all. No, there's a time of quietness when you lay down generally, isn't it? A time that nobody's saying, Daddy, 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 or your wife. No, you're laying down. It's time to reflect. It's time to think. It's time to consider. It's time to commune. Is the day okay? Has the day been okay? No, that thing that happened today, and I took a stand on something. Am I right? I took a strong stand today. Am I right? I took a position. Am I right? Lord, help me to see this better. I've told this story before, but many times. But it was a monument to me in my life. I was considering something and how I should respond to something. And I had thought about it quite a bit, and I come to the conclusion, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. This is the way I'm going to handle it. And I felt like it was the way to handle it. And you know, I felt like the Lord, I had been reading George Mueller, Hudson Taylor. I'd been reading some of the old saint books and their testimonies, different ones. Brother Sammons is From Darkness to Light, and the different ones, stories. And I felt like the Lord come to me and to my mind and brought it to me like this. Write this in your mind in a book that you're going to publish, Faith Publishing House publish and distribute to the saints. Write this story about you in this situation and write that in your mind that you're going to do that. You know, I started writing that in my mind, and it was not the same as some other books. It did not speak of a higher. It didn't give a testimony of a great God. I wasn't in awe. I wasn't standing in awe. And as I communed with my heart about it, and I started writing it, I started writing it in my mind of what I would want people to think I was, what I wanted God to want me to be, how I would act if I was spiritual. And I wrote it that way, and you know, it changed my whole mind about what I should do. Commune, it says, with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Think about it and consider it and ask the right questions. Lord, are you satisfied with this? What road am I on here? If I die today before the sun comes up, if I die in the night, is my life acceptable with God? Is what I'm doing really okay? Commune with your own heart. Think and consider about it. Meditate upon it. Now, over in Haggai, first chapter, the idea of honestly pursuing God with an honesty about that I am willing to see myself. I'm willing to deal with me. If you're here and you're emotional, say, well, I'm emotional. If you're here and you're hard, you say, well, I'm hard. If you say you're quick-spoken, you're quick-spoken. If you get attitudes, say, I'm a person that get attitudes. Deal with it in an honest pursuit. Thus speaketh the Lord, second verse, first chapter of Haggai. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? That's a question. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lay waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You can express that with different emphasis. You can express that idea with the idea of you need to consider your ways. That's an expression. Or you can express it, consider your ways. They have different meanings. One's very blaming and the other is very matter of fact or about consider. I want to take it in a second. That the Lord is being objective here with them and saying to them, be honest about your own pursuit of the Lord. And look at where you're at. Is what you're doing working? I'm going to ask us today, just ask yourself this question, is what I'm doing working? Am I honestly being satisfied with the experience? Listen, if nothing, living for the Lord should be satisfying. Right? I mean, what do we do this? God is able to help you and I in all aspects of our lives. Consider your ways here is saying, is it working? Honestly, consider your ways. Would it not be beneficial to you to put God first? Honest question. Consider your ways. Honestly, step back and look. You plant, you put yourself first. Is it working? Is it working for you to put yourself first? Does that do it for you? You keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep plowing. You keep sowing. You keep doing. You keep building. You keep doing it. But is it working? Is it really satisfying? Consider this. Just honestly consider it. It is saying, are you satisfied? Do you have peace in your life? Are you contented with things? Is it working? Is it working for you? Can you say at the end of it, I'm satisfied in life and I'm going to heaven? And this is, I got a testimony to this end? Because this writing with them, it was not so. The prophet comes to him. This is what the Lord said to you. Consider this. Set and consider this. Is there another call? Lord, is there something you want me to do? Is there something else lacking in my life? The rich young ruler comes to the Lord and says, what must I do to be saved? Well, keep the commandment. Well, I've done all that. What do I lack? Oh, down in there deep, a consideration. You know there's something in there. Of course this young man knows something. He didn't go off and say, yes, I got it made. Jesus just told me I've done it. I've been doing that and I'm good to go. He knew down in there was something that wasn't getting it. Consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in a little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now you got it all in your hands and you think you're going good. You're doing the best, and if I just work a little harder, but you keep doing it, you keep making money and it keeps falling through holes. I don't know how exactly to say that, but I will say this about it. I thought many times about it. You don't know what's going to come up. You don't know what the next thing is. I mean, I know about some of us' a situation, and I'm going to tell you, none of us is very solid. Mine's not solid. I mean, things can change at any time. I mean, right now, my vehicles is running good, but it don't mean they won't tear up. It don't mean that I won't have to go buy one. It doesn't. All these things are very fluid. It's very changeable from time to time. You don't know what it's going to do at any given time. It can change at a whim on anything. Well, the Lord looks at this and says, you're doing all of this, so I'm asking you serious. Consider it. Is you're planning, You're getting food, but you eat it and you're not satisfied with it. You're drinking, but then you're thirsty. You're doing all these things and none of it's satisfying you. Why don't you look and see maybe that there's another way? I'm doing something wrong here. Something's wrong. It's not working. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus himself gave us instruction to seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, that is just exactly what you're supposed to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will fall in its place, and there'll be a fulfillment that way. Consider the things that happen. He says, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow on it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. There was an old, I guess it was true, about the old settler days, and they moved into a place. Always heard they built their barn first. You ever hear that? That in them days they built their barn first? Because it was what was going to bring in the rest of it. It's what they put the first things first. And you could say the Lord seemed selfish here. The Lord seemed, do you know the Lord knows? This is not God being mean. The Lord knows that if you don't put him first, you're not going to be satisfied. The Lord knows that the material things of this life are fleeting. The Lord knows that if you got what you thought you'd have, you'll still be miserable. It don't bring satisfaction. I've run through this earth long enough to think that if I do this, it's going to satisfy me. If I do this, it's going to be satisfy me. If I do that, it's going to satisfy me. It doesn't. It's short and fleeting. And the Lord said, I blew on it. I blew on it. It ain't going to prosper. I'm not going to allow you to prosper at the detriment of your own soul. So he blew on the efforts. He blew on all of those things. Stand in awe. God's got your prosperity in his hands. Okay? Stand in awe that God's got your life in his hands, your prosperity in his hand. Stand in awe of the one that has your health in his hands. Stand in awe. Lord, I mean, this is the way it ought to be. Lord, I'm counting on you. Get out on the highway as much as I'm on the highway in past years anyway, not this year, but in past years. It's hard to pull out that driveway without asking the Lord, without standing in awe. When I've seen all the crashes and wrecks and everything that can happen on the highway, and to think about my van quitting, I've had this thing in my mind about being right there in the middle of St. Louis and my car just, and the traffic, just, and you pull, it's not hard to, when I think of that, it's not hard for me to ask the Lord when I leave a driveway up there, Lord, help us on this trip. I'd say, Lord, help my driver and help the other drivers. Lord, bless this vehicle to run well. Lord, bless your timings. Bless, Lord, have mercy on us, because I'm standing in awe about something that's bigger than me and I understand it and those kind of things. And you should stand in awe of the health that you have. Do you know, before this day's out, you could be in a shape. It can happen that quick. We stand in awe of the God that we serve that's got those things in his hands. And I'm going to tell you, I think sometimes when we go, I think God loves us enough. I know God loves us enough that sometimes when we're not got it right, God will blow on our health. God will blow on our finances. God will do that, and his whole thing is to say, saying, consider your ways. Just stop. I'm just trying to stop and get you to consider your ways. And I have my testimonies of that. I remember one time, I've told this many times, but I won't go into all the details of it, but I do know that I wasn't lost by any means or anything like that, but I wasn't being very serious about the Lord and going on with my things. And that's when the Lord let me let me knock the gas meter off over there in Elkins, and a big deal, and I felt so out of control, and it was such a kind of a hard situation that I heard the Lord saying, you can't control life very well, can you, Marty? No, not really, Lord. You don't have control of things, do you? Nope, I don't. I'm totally out of control here. Lord, help me. I heard. Bring me back in. Lord, consider. Well, then, Marty, consider your ways. If you keep going the way you're going, it's not going to be good. Consider that. Think about it. And stand in awe. Stand in awe of God and what he is. Why saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye turn every man unto his own house. I know we could call this the house of the Lord, and surely it's been a good place for us. But in this New Testament time, this is not the house. This is where he dwells. You fix the house. Go get the materials. Go get the and work on the house. Get this house made. Get this thing till I'm pleased with it. Then you know what I find out? See, what we'd like to say is that if I get this house right, then I won't have any problems. Now, this is the way we like to say it. If I get the house right, then that means that I won't have accidents, I won't have health problems, I won't have financial problems, and I won't do that. But no, I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that none of those things matter when I get my house right. It honestly means that they all be put in perspective, and God, would that we all prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. God doesn't blow on those things anymore and do those kind of things unless necessary. But the thing of it is that my heart and mind change now. This is the important. This is like what my hobby is. This is what I do for a living. This is what I do. I take care of this house. Now everything else that I do takes care of the house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and the men, and upon the cattle, and upon all the labors of your hands. You want to fight God? I mean, can we fight God and say we're going to turn that drought around? We're going to seed the clouds? What are we going to do to make the corn grow when there's no water on it? What are we going to do to make fruit grow? You know nothing? I mean, I fool with fruit a lot. I enjoy doing it, and I trim. I take care of the trees. That comes out in a full blossom, and then it gets down to 15 degrees, and it's done, and there's nothing I can do about 15 degrees. Nothing. Except for call upon the Lord. He heard me. You can call upon the Lord. He'll hear you. You can do things like that. You can do everything you know to do, but you can't make increase. And you know, I'm going to tell you something else. I've had years that the frost did not get my fruit, and it didn't have no fruit anyway. Little old gnarled up, swiveled up, nothing to eat or nothing any good, and it wasn't the frost that got it. As a matter of fact, I don't know what got it. Maybe there's an explanation for what got it, but the idea of it is none of us control the things of our life. God controls those things in our life, and we're to stand in awe of the one that can give us fruit. Do you realize that it wouldn't take much. I'm not going down the fear line. I'm just going to tell you. Stand in awe of God. Do you know that it wouldn't take much to put to disrupt food distribution in this country? You know how little it would take to disrupt that? Right now, we're used to a full cupboard. I can go to Walmart on any given day. But, you know, more and more you understand through this last stuff that happened when the trucks wasn't running and certain things was happening and you go to get stuff and you don't get them. I always said, well, I don't care. I'll raise my fruit and I'll can it in these jars. Somebody get me some lids. Can anybody get any lids? I've been trying to get lids for a couple months. I said, I don't need to buy, this is what I said, I don't need to buy bullets because I reload my own bullets. I'll shoot my own deer. I can have some food. Buy me some powder to reload my guns with, somebody. You know what? It wouldn't take much to disrupt our lives in a very big way. That's not to try to say a fear. That what that's doing is saying, if the Lord wants to blow on this, this nation needs to consider its ways. We need to consider our ways, because what I found out in the things of the Lord, what I believe if Daniel was taken out of his homeland and took into captivity and was faithful and God blessed him, I think if Marty's faithful, God will bless him too. I won't need the powder. I won't need the lids. God can provide some way. It may be through the lids. I don't know. But God will do it. We're to stand in awe and consider our ways. You know what? I can't change this nation. I can't make it more peaceful. I can't make the rioting stop. I can't make the hatred stop, but I can quit hating. I can't make the war stop, but I can have peace in my soul. I can't make any of the things. I can't do this collectively. I can't heal. We can't heal on some collective thing the ills of the United States, but I can correct mine by the help of the Lord. Consider your ways. Stop and commune with your own heart upon your bed. Stop and get the thing right and know that no matter what happens, no matter what the future comes is, that I've got my soul right. I've got it right with the Lord. And stand in the position that Paul said, I think in Philippians, where he said, if you be any otherwise minded, that God would reveal even this to you. You know that if you can come to the point that you say, I've done that many times. Lord, I do what's right, I just don't know what it is. Lord, I don't know. You know, there's a promise that the Lord will lead us and guide us, and we won't have to fall subject to those kind of things. Consider your ways. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.